The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. It's time to bring out the Better Worldian in all of us. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio with your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. Better Worldians Radio inspires you with the people and ideas that are making the world a better place. You'll hear how small acts can make a big difference every day. Now, here are Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory.
Hi, this is Ray Hansel. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio. Better Worldians Radio is a weekly broadcast whose mission is to uplift and inspire you to make the world a better place. Every week, we are speaking with best-selling authors, film producers, TED speakers, happiness experts, and also everyday folks just like you whose small acts are making a big difference. And that's why we call them Better Worldians. Now, speaking of Better Worldians, I have to introduce you to my co-host, Greg Hansel. Greg has a background in philosophy and world religions, and most importantly, has spent over 15 years at the intersection of technology, social causes, and big ideas.
Hi, this is Greg. I'm so glad you can all join us here on Better Worldians Radio. My mother and co-host Mary Sue unfortunately can't be with us for today's show, but we look forward to welcoming her back next week. Now, let me also tell you a bit about my dad, Ray, who you just heard from. He's a serial entrepreneur who successfully founded and with Mary Sue took public a national marketing firm. Giving back's always been really important to Dad, who supports many causes, especially disadvantaged children and their families. By the way, we're the family team that created the popular social game on Facebook called A Better World. It rewards players for doing good deeds while helping to raise money and awareness for charities. To date, over 25 million good deeds have been done in A Better World by more than 2.7 million people. And in the month of December, we're supporting Operation Warm, a nonprofit that brings happiness and warmth to children in need by providing them with brand new winter coats. When our players complete 300,000 good deeds in the game this month, we'll release funds to purchase new winter coats for 50 kids in need.
And this week on Better Worldians Radio, we're talking with Operation Warm Executive Director Rich Lally. Rich is responsible for overall direction of the organization, which includes the development, communications, organizational strategy, and also developing strategic partnerships and community programs. Prior to joining Operation Warm in 2009 as VP of Development, Rich served as president of the Rotary Club of Winnetka, Northfield, Illinois, and he also serves there as a Rotary District 6440 as assistant governor. Rich brings over 20 years of brand marketing and advertising experience to Operation Warm, most recently as vice president of advertising and brand management for Discover Financial Services. He is a past recipient of Brand Week's Marketer of the Year and Ad Age's Marketer 100 Awards. Rich is a graduate of Michigan State University, where he studied advertising.
Hi, Rich. This is Greg.
Hi, Greg.
It's a pleasure to have you join us on Better Worldians Radio. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us a bit about what Operation Warm does.
Well, you just said it in a nutshell. We bring happiness and warmth to disadvantaged children through the gift of brand new winter coats. And what that does is it makes a child very, very happy, which has an impact on their self-esteem, a positive impact on their self-esteem. And it empowers them to attend school and, from their perspective, more importantly, to play outside on cold winter days.
So how did Operation Storm get started?
Operation Warm started in 1998 when a recently retired, highly successful business executive who'd sold the last pieces of his large company read a newspaper story near his suburban Philadelphia home that profiled a number of children in February waiting for a school bus with no winter coats. Well, the story upset Dick. Dick Sanford's the gentleman's name. That's our founder's name. And he was upset that the kids could be living so close to his home with no coats that he, that afternoon, went out to the local department store and asked the clerk how many children's coats they had in stock and was told they had 58 coats. He bought all 58 coats. And then working with a connection that he had through his Rotary Club that meets in Kennett Square at Longwood Gardens in Pennsylvania, he was able to organize the first Operation Warm Coat distribution at the school that the children who were profiled in the newspaper story attended. So Dick and a handful of his Rotary and some friends from church gave coats to the children that were profiled and a few other children who needed coats in the school. And Dick was blown away by the kids' reaction and even more astounded by the parents' reaction, who couldn't believe that this, you know, total stranger would be so kind as to give their child a brand new coat. Well, the next year his Rotary Club went on and did a project, and Dick worked on getting coats a more efficient way than just going to the local department store and buying them. And the next year, his Rotary District did a project, and before you knew it, Dick decided there was a lot of need here and that it was something that he felt a calling to do. So he formed a 501c3 nonprofit charitable organization and hired somebody that he knew from the nonprofit world who knew how to raise money and started the nonprofit Operation Warm.
That's an amazing story.
The story of how we got started.
So I know you mentioned that Operation Warm only gives away new coats. You know, why do you do that?
Well, we believe, I mean, obviously if a child doesn't have a coat, having something that's warm is better than having nothing. But we have a core belief that I think most people would agree with, that all children are valuable. And that we find that when you give a child a brand new coat, it says to them, they interpret that as meaning you think they're valuable. You think they're worthy of something brand new. And it has an incredible boost to a lot of these children, to their self-esteem. Now, it's not a life-changing event, but it's an impact that makes them feel better about themselves, makes them want to be in school because they don't feel embarrassed that they don't have a coat. And ultimately, for a short period of time, they'll perform better in school because of the attitude that they have.
That's great. And I have to imagine that a lot of these kids haven't had that kind of a feeling in a while, I bet.
No. It's amazing. You know, a lot of people who have even, you know, a modest amount don't understand how many people in the United States just have nothing, and particularly children have nothing. You know, there's over 16 million children living in what the federal government defines as poverty. And half of those are living in what the federal government defines as extreme poverty, less than $12,000 a year for a household.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think people don't do that. Well, that's an amazing mission, and you know, especially this time of year as it's getting so cold out there with these clothes and everything, you know.
I was visiting family yesterday, my father-in-law yesterday in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It was 3 degrees. Yeah. You needed a coat.
So tell us, what drew you personally to Operation Warm?
Well, it's a story that shows that everything in life happens for a reason. I had left the corporate marketing and advertising world in 2003 and had started a small retail business with my wife, and that was going fine. And as a part of that activity, I joined the local Rotary Club as a way of getting connected into the community and finding a way through my business to give back into the community. And everything was hunky-dory until the recession of 2008. We sold home furnishings, and not many people were buying home furnishings in the fourth quarter of 2008 when nobody was buying houses and people had lost half of their net worth in the stock market crash. So we ended up closing the business, and I didn't have a clue what I was going to do with the rest of my life. Well, I was in the queue to be the president of my local Rotary Club, and I went to a Rotary conference where incoming presidents are trained. And at that conference, I met Dick Sanford, the founder of Operation Warm. He was there with a small little exhibit trying to promote Operation Warm as a community service project for Rotary Clubs. And from that chance meeting, we didn't really even talk. I just picked up a brochure and took it back to my club, and it's now become the signature, one of two signature projects for my Rotary Club, and one thing led to another, and I joined the staff of Operation Warm, and several years later, I'm now the executive director. So in things that you think are bad in life, they sometimes turn out to be the best thing that could have happened to you.
Right. They say, you know, every door that closes, another opens, you know.
That's exactly right. And that's what happened with me, and that's my story as to how I got here. And I got to tell you, I've had more fun and more enjoyment and sense of satisfaction in the last 5 years, you know, working as hard as I can to help get more children coached than I did in all of the high-powered TV commercials I ever made.
That's great. That's great. So I understand that when a child receives a coat from Operation Warm, his or her name is actually written into the coat. Can you describe the coats and tell us what they're like?
Sure. Our coats are all manufactured to our specifications. That way we're able to choose colors and make sure that our coats come in a wide variety of colors. One of the things that we want to make sure we're not doing is giving out a uniform. I mean, you know, we're familiar with some programs that are done by some governmental units, particularly for new refugee families that come into the United States, oftentimes from Southeast Asia or from Africa, tropical climates, and coats are given out as a part of their kind of, you know, survival kits, if you will, if they're moving into Minnesota. And oftentimes those coats are all the same drab brown color. And we don't want to do that because you don't want to, you want the kids to feel proud of the coats and love what they have. And you do that by having current and popular colors. And so we change our color lineup every year, except I will say we always have pink. And we always have pink and white, and we always have pink and pink, and we always have purple, because you always have to have those colors for the girls. But the coats are what are known as bubble coats in the garment trade. So they're the puffy kind of coats that, you know, you might think they have down in them. They actually don't have down, because when down gets wet, it's not as good an insulating property. But they're good warm coats made primarily out of nylon, lightweight, waterproofed, and all have a hood. And one of the things that they all have is a tag that says Operation Warm, and then it says underneath the branded logo, it says made just for you, and then a place for the child to put their name or the teacher to write the name in for the child. And we started that a number of years ago, and we heard for the first time, but I hear this at least twice or three times every year. You know, you'll give a child a coat, and she'll look up at you and say, thank you so much for my coat. I've never had anything like this before. Thank you. When do I have to give it back? And it's from hearing, when do I have to give it back, that we decided we'd put into the coats, into the name tag area, no, this coat was made just for you.
I think that's really special. You know, kids love to have their own things. It means so much
right.
to them.
Yep.
I mean, for these kids, so many of them don't have anything. The fact that you're doing that, that's great. It must make them.
We hear stories from parents and teachers. The story of the you know, boy who doesn't understand why he can't wear his coat in April on a 60 degree day. Or the girl who doesn't want to take her coat off and sleeps in it for a week. Not because it's cold in her house necessarily, although that may be the case, but because she doesn't want to take it off because she loves it so much.
That's really cute. That's great. Well, you know, you were talking a few minutes ago about your founder and, you know, how he was reacting to kids not having a coat waiting for school buses. But, you know, I've also read that it's not uncommon for children to miss school on cold days because they don't have an adequate coat. Tell people about that.
Well, I never really realized that either until one of my colleagues was talking with some of the staff people at the Oklahoma City Schools. I think actually she was speaking to the superintendent, and she said, you know, Carrie, you guys talk about all the benefits that these coats have, but one of the things that you probably don't realize is that how many children don't come to school, or they'll come to school half the time because two sisters are sharing a coat. And when it gets to be, you know, single digits, mom will keep one home one day and the other home the next day because she's only got one coat. But more often than not, mom's working. And then where's the child? So the child's at home because they can't go out without the coat. But home alone, an 8-year-old child may not be the safest situation. There may not be much in the way of food in the refrigerator. And, you know, one of the other benefits of being in school for children from low-income families is that they get one or two increasingly nutritious meals every day through the school lunch program.
You know, it's so important that people hear about this kind of thing, you know, so that they see a coat is not just something to keep them, you know, only warm, that, you know, this is a matter of survival, this is a matter
right.
of education, you know, this is a matter of,
right.
and it's also a matter of self-worth, you know.
Yep. You know, the other aspect of childhood poverty that's been getting a little bit of play in the media lately, but is largely unfocused on and unknown, is the actually growing problem of youth homelessness and child homelessness. It's not just teenagers. There's, you know, hundreds of thousands of 6, 7, 8-year-old children who, you know, are with whatever adult they're with, and they don't have a permanent home. And that doesn't mean they're sleeping on the streets, but they're so-called couch surfing, or they're moving from temporary living situation to temporary living situation to temporary living situation, and it's a horrible situation. And if you know a parent and a child, or an aunt and a child, are in that kind of a situation, there's no way that adult's going to be able to provide that child a brand new coat.
Yeah. Well, tell me, you know, how do these kids typically react when they get this new coat? You've touched on it a little bit, but tell us, you know, what's that moment like for them?
Well, oftentimes they're looking through all the different colors and deciding which color they want. They're trying it on, and is it big enough or is it too big? And so working to get the right size, to get the color. One of the things that I see frequently, which I think is pretty cute, is the number of, you know, the pack of girls or the pack of boys that will all want the same color, because they want to be part of their own purple club or whatever it happens to be. And those are some of the cutest pictures, actually, when they're all in the same. But, you know, there's a rainbow of colors in the total distribution that's going on, but you've got this little pot of four girls showing off their purple on purple coats.
That's really cute. And what's that moment like when they realize that this is theirs and this is maybe one of the first things they've ever owned for themselves? How do they react?
Grateful. Yeah. Grateful and happy. And that's why I like to say what we do is we bring happiness and warmth to children. And the happiness is at the lead of that. And that's because it's a brand new coat. And, you know, you guys certainly know this because of the orientation that you have. But when people are happy and they have the right attitude in life and they have the right set of values, they're going to be more successful in life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We believe that's core to our mission here at Better World.
Right. So
actually, one last question for you before we go to the break. You know, what's it like for a parent, I'm sure you've encountered this as well, who can't afford to give their child a coat?
It can't be fun. I mean, I can say, as I was raising my son, that, you know, there are things I wish I could have given him that I wasn't able to give him, but it certainly didn't come down to the level of a basic need. I was able to provide all the basic needs and more to my son, and I'm very, very thankful for that. But it's got to be just so frustrating and so difficult to constantly be in the need of support from other people. On the other hand, they're extremely grateful that somebody cares enough about their child that they're going to provide this support for them.
Well, we need to take a break right now, but we'll be talking more with Rich Lattig when we come back, and we'll also be welcoming firefighter Joey Leonetti to talk about his department's involvement in supporting Operation Warm. In the meantime, I'd like to tell you about our Indiegogo campaign that's now funding at abetterworld.com/kidsgame. A Better World for Kids lets children have fun and make a difference through good deeds and positive thinking, both in the online virtual world game itself and in the real world. Additionally, A Better World for Kids has promised to pledge 10% of its post-campaign net profits to charities that help children directly. So please, go to abetterworld.com/kidsgame to learn more and to help fund A Better World for Kids. We'll be right back.
How can we make it a better world?
I think we can make it a better world if we had peace among each other.
Everybody needs to help their neighbor, and then it will spread from then on.
I should do more.
I could do more. I spend so much time on Facebook.
How much time do I spend on Facebook?
Probably more than I should be spending.
I would definitely get back if I could find the time.
Now you can help others just by playing a game on Facebook. It's called A Better World. Share your hopes and dreams. Do good deeds. Make a difference. And have fun. Become a better worldian. Join a community where all good deeds get rewarded. Log in today to find out how you can make a difference every day.
For more information, visit facebook.com/abetterworld.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica.
Plenty of games teach kids reading, writing, and arithmetic, and that's great. But what about a game that teaches kindness, helpfulness, and ways to do good? The family team behind A Better World is launching a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo to create a kid-friendly mobile game called A Better World for Kids. The game encourages values long associated with the holiday season, like gratitude and giving, as well as concerns that kids face today, like anti-bullying, recycling, and healthy eating. A Better World for Kids encourages children to break the boundary between the real world and virtual world. They aren't just playing a game. They're going out in the world and doing good. Go to abetterworld.com/kidsgame to learn how kids can decorate a house, dress up in fun clothes, adopt virtual pets, and get a job, just like mom and dad. Please support our efforts to make a better world for kids at abetterworld.com/kidsgame.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Better Worldians Radio with a family team of Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. To connect with the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send us an email to radio@betterworldians.com. Now, back to Better Worldians Radio.
You're listening to Better Worldians Radio. We're speaking right now with Operation Warm Executive Director Rich Lally. Hi, Rich. It's a pleasure to speak.
Hello again.
Hey. You know, Rich, Operation Warm has several different partnerships for distributing coats. Let's talk a little bit about one of those particular partnerships right now, and that's the firefighter program. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Sure. Yeah, we work with lots of different grassroots organizations who do what we call the donor-managed program, where they raise funds locally, identify schools or other organizations serving economically disadvantaged children, and then get coats from us to provide to those kids. For quite a few years now, we've been working with the fire department in Fairfax County outside of Washington, D.C. And the gentleman who organizes that and kind of spearheads that whole initiative ended up getting on the board of the International Association of Firefighters a few years back. And he introduced us to the IAFF at the national level. And we had some conversations, and we ended up becoming one of the few number of official charities for the International Association of Firefighters.
So what's the response been like from firefighters that have been involved with Operation Warm?
Well, it's been fantastic, and there's another aspect to the program that I want to mention, and that is that you know, the IAFF, being strong union workers in the United States, really wanted to support American jobs, and virtually every child's winter coat provided in America is made in Asia. Including most of our coats, all of our coats were made in Asia until we developed our partnership with the IAFF. And as a result of that, we are now manufacturing 20% of our coats. 60,000 coats this year are being manufactured in a union facility in the United States with all American-made materials. So we're really, really happy about that aspect of the program. And we'll have several hundred fire departments all over the country, from Alaska to Texas to Massachusetts and all points in between, working with us to provide coats to children in their communities.
Well, what is it about Operation Warm that you feel appeals to the fire themselves?
Well, you know, what we've been told is that firefighters are in the community, and they, you know, their whole mission is to serve and protect, and they end up in people's homes. They end up in rich people's homes and in poor people's homes when they're doing their job, and they see firsthand the plight that economically disadvantaged children have, and this is a way for them to get involved hands-on, knowing that they're making a difference in their community. So I think that's a big part of what's appealing to the firefighters about the program.
Well, we'll be finding out more directly about what appeals to the firefighters, because we're going to welcome now Lieutenant Joey Leonetti, a firefighter with the Wilmington Fire Department in Delaware. Leonetti has been a firefighter for 13 years and has worked with the local charitable foundation for about 8 years. Lieutenant, I'm looking forward to talking with you. My father was actually a Philadelphia firefighter for over 20 years and worked at stations throughout the city back in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. So it's a profession that's very near and very dear to my heart. So I guess I can begin by just asking you about your organization's involvement with Operation Warm.
Okay. Firefighters are no strangers to raising money for the community or helping others. I mean, the actual firefighting part of our job is a little part of it. So we've been doing this for a long time, but we just recently found out about Operation Warm about 2 years ago at a conference. I'm recently new to the executive board for our local union, and we're at a conference, and we come across the people there, and we started talking to them, and we thought, what a great way to, you know, help the community and see the money we raised actually make a dent and help people, you know, firsthand, and you can actually see where it goes. So it's been really great.
Have you seen the community respond that you work out of to your involvement in this particular cause as well?
Yeah, you know, we used to raise money for other charities, and we still do that. It's not that we stopped completely or anything. You know, you would write a check or you would send money, and you know it's going to a good cause. But when you do this and you see, you know, you actually see kids on the street wearing the coat that you handed out a couple weeks ago, you know, it really hits home, and their families and everybody who knows about this program, it really hits them really good as well. We got a lot of help from our local businesses once they found out what we were doing, because, again, it hits right here, right in the community that we serve in.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is it about the whole program that appeals to you personally?
I think, like I said, you know, this is something, you know, firsthand, you get to hand out these coats and see an impact, what it makes on a kid's life and how happy it makes them. And, you know, when you go around with the other firefighters or even anybody who pretty much donates money, we give them opportunity to come with us on a coat distribution just to actually see it firsthand, because, you know, once you see this, everybody becomes an ambassador for this and spreads the word.
Yeah. So it must be amazing to see how the kids react to receiving the new coats. I mean, what's that like?
Man, I can't put it in words. I mean, you know, it's kind of selfish, I guess, saying that I will never miss a coat drive again, because, you know, raising the money and making the coats happen is the best part of it. But when you go out there and hand out a coat to a kid that never received anything brand new in their life, or, you know, let them help sign their name inside of it or pull the tags off it for the first time and see them smile and see how happy it makes them, I mean, it's a feel-good moment for you, too.
Why would you encourage other organizations or other fire departments to get involved in this? I mean, do you feel that this is something that should be encouraged in organizations like the firefighters?
I mean, especially with the fire departments, because we're out in the community, you know, we're out helping everybody in the worst of times, and, you know, to be out there and see the way people live, and it's not these kids' fault, but the way they were brought up in poverty sometimes. So, you know, to help these kids and maybe make an impact on their life, or maybe even their brother or sister's life who's a little bit older and might be heading down the wrong path and seeing, you know, they're still good out there and there's people thinking of them. So, you know, to really impact the community, yeah, we can go out and put fires out and help people who are sick every day, and that's what we do. But go out here and make a real impact in the community and help somebody, you know, have a better life or a better chance, that's what it's all about.
So walk me through the experience here. You're actually walking in to somebody's home with the coats itself. Are you in uniform? Or how do the kids experience seeing the firefighters in that context?
The way we do it here in Wilmington is we select a community or a community center or something like that, or a school, and we'll bring coats there, and we'll bring fire trucks, guys in uniform. Some guys will wear part of their fire gear. We'll bring plastic helmets for the kids. You know, all kids love to see firemen like that. And yeah. There'll be a big group like that, and then they just come up, and we size them out and get them and let them pull the tags off, you know, because that's a neat thing. And we had a kid one time said he never had anything new in his life. And, you know, to hear that's heartbreaking, but at the same time, it really lets you know you're doing something good for the whole community.
And how do the parents react when they see you involved with helping their kids?
They're just as happy as the kids are. And, you know, I went out on a run one time, and the mother grabbed me. She's like, "You're one of the firemen that gave my kid a new coat last year." And, you know, I couldn't pick her out of the lineup because, you know, we did a bunch of coats, and I'm in houses every day. But for her to remember me, I knew it had to be something special.
Yeah, it's got to be impactful. And I think it creates a sense of respect in the community for the work that you guys are doing and for the occupation of for the fire department, because all of a sudden they see these kids probably see you bigger than life. You walk in the door and give them something that, you know, they didn't expect, and it's got their name on it. So it's got to be a great boost for firemen, for the whole Firefighters Association, and for the community at large to see you guys in that role, because it really is very tangible. I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, I my dad was a fireman, and he rarely put out fires as he got later into his career. The containment issues were a lot easier, and so, but in the earlier days, he saved some lives. He was involved in that kind of thing, but it's more of an occasional thing as opposed to every day you're out on a fire. But you bring it right home by actually bringing something to the children that they really need and that the parents want as well. So I think it's a terrific. A partnership between you and also Operation Warm. Do you have any favorite stories here that you want to share with us about a little boy or a little girl?
I mean, that one I told you, I already said it because it's the one that really hit home with me the best. When you walk in and all these kids are happy, I mean, how many places can you walk in with 5 or 6 or 10 firemen and kids don't get excited? But the one time we were handing them out, and the one kid just looked up and was like, "Why do I have to give it that?"
It
blew our minds that this kid actually thought that, you know, he was going to have to give this coat back.
Yeah.
Again, he never received anything new in his life. So, you know, to explain to him, "Now this is your coat now. We're going to put your name in it, and you get to rip the tags off it. And this is your coat for the winter and next winter, however long you can stay in it."
Yeah, there's a lot of context behind somebody saying that gift is something that they don't deserve, perhaps, or, you know, why would it be that some stranger would come in and give this to me and I never have to give it back is saying an awful lot about the context of that little child's experience. So, well, Lieutenant Leonetti, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today on Better Williams Radio. It's really been great hearing your stories and hearing the partnership that exists between the fire departments and Operation Warm. I definitely encourage as many of the fire departments and organizations like this to take advantage of this kind of a partnership, because it really means a lot, I think, to everybody. The firemen, I think, feel it, the same kind of partnership, just as Joey Leonetti just explained. We're going to take another break right now. And as a reminder, our Indiegogo campaign is now funding at abetterworld.com/kidsgame. A Better World for Kids, just as a reminder, lets kids have fun and make a difference through good deeds and positive thinking, both in the online virtual world game itself and in the real world as well. Additionally, A Better World for Kids has promised to pledge 10% of its post-campaign net profits to charities that help kids directly, like Operation Warm. So go to abetterworld.com/kidsgame to learn more and to help fund A Better World for Kids. We'll be right back.
Plenty of games teach kids reading, writing, and arithmetic, and that's great. But what about a game that teaches kindness, helpfulness, and ways to do good? The family team behind A Better World is launching a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo to create a kid-friendly mobile game called A Better World for Kids. The game encourages values long associated with the holiday season, like gratitude and giving, as well as concerns that kids face today, like anti-bullying, recycling, and healthy eating. A Better World for Kids encourages children to break the boundary between the real world and virtual world. They aren't just playing a game. They're going out in the world and doing good. Go to abetterworld.com/kidsgame to learn how kids can decorate a house, dress up in fun clothes, adopt virtual pets, and get a job, just like mom and dad. Please support our efforts to make a better world for kids at abetterworld.com/kidsgame.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
How can we make it a better world?
I think we can make it a better world if we had peace among each other.
Everybody needs to help their neighbor, and then it will spread from then on.
I should do more.
I could do more. I spend so much time on Facebook.
How much time do I spend on Facebook?
Probably more than I should be spending.
I would definitely get back if I could find the time.
Now you can help others just by playing a game on Facebook. It's called A Better World. Share your hopes and dreams. Do good deeds. Make a difference. And have fun. Become a better worldian. Join a community where all good deeds get rewarded. Log in today to find out how you can make a difference every day.
For more information, visit facebook.com/abetterworld.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
This is Better Worldians Radio with a family team of Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. To connect with the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send us an email to radio@betterworldians.com. Now, back to Better Worldians Radio.
We're back now with Operation Warm Executive Director Rich Lally. Operation Warm is a nonprofit that brings happiness and warmth to tell children in need by providing them with brand new winter coats.
Hi, Rich. This is Greg again.
Hi.
So I'm curious, you've touched on this a bit, but tell our listeners how a child's life is really truly changed receiving a new coat.
On a number of levels. The first and obvious one is the child has the ability, is empowered, if you will, to be outside on cold winter days. So they can make a snowman or they can make a snow angel or build a snow fort, and they can go to school, very importantly. They can get to school on cold winter days. In addition to that, because the coat's brand new, they feel better about themselves, and if you feel better about yourself, you're going to perform better in school, you're going to perform better in life. Attitude is a key determinant of someone's, you know, success in life, and while this isn't a life-changing experience for an entire lifetime, it is a life-changing experience for a period of time and helps. It's one of, you know, hopefully a number of positive and things that are going to happen to a child to allow them the opportunity to be successful in life.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite story of witnessing a child receiving his or her coat?
Yeah, it's kind of an odd story. It was the first coat distribution I went to. It was in a small little after school program in the Rogers Park neighborhood in Chicago. A Rotary Club had gotten coats from Operation Warm and was providing coats to every child in this center. The club does a lot of work with this center. They do a lot of literacy programs and help with some capital funding for the center. And when they learned about Operation Warm, they decided that every year they'd provide coats to the children as well. And they did. They had a little party with cupcakes. And I've got still have this picture on my phone of this little boy looking up at me, offering me a cupcake with his brand new coat on and big smile on his face. But he wanted to give me something back, you know. And so he offered me this cupcake he'd gotten. And it stuck with me for, I always show that picture to people.
I bet. I bet that's incredible. So let's talk a bit about 11-year-old, is it Nicholas Tuchek?
Yeah, Nicholas Tuchek, who happens to be the grandson of our founder.
Oh.
And Nicholas was a pretty accomplished as a young boy, 8- and 9-year-old race walker, not a sport a lot of people participate in, but he was a regional champion in his boys division race walker, and his father is an avid marathon runner. Well, Nick is one of these people that just has a gift for running. He's happiest when he's running, and he loves to run, and he came up with the idea a couple of years ago that he wanted to try to, you know, lots of people run marathons to raise money for causes, right? It's a pretty standard thing these days. He decided he wanted to raise money to help Operation Warm, and he came up on his own with this concept of trying to run a marathon on every continent. And lo and behold, his father was able to make that happen, and he, his father and Nicholas have run a marathon over a 2-year period on every continent, including Antarctica.
Wow, that's incredible.
There's some great pictures on our Facebook page and website, and Nicholas has his own Facebook page of Nicholas hanging out with penguins. He took a break during his Antarctic marathon, and someone asked him, weren't you worried about your time? And he said, are you kidding me? How often do you get to hang out with penguins?
Oh, that's amazing. You know what? I'll let our social media people know they can pass those pictures around.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
Absolutely.
So I know that
he's raised about $40,000 through his efforts. You know, grassroots efforts. He's attracted a couple of national supporters in the running business, and we're looking forward to seeing what he has up his sleeve next.
Wow, that is amazing. 11 years old. Incredible.
11 years old. He's been on Ellen, and he hasn't been on Ellen. He's been on Katie Couric's show. He's been on CNN. He's gotten a lot of press coverage, which has been fantastic for Operation Warm because he, of course, you know, is operating as an ambassador, if you will, for Operation Warm. And he's just he's an amazing young man.
So great. That's really great. So I know that right now is Operation Warm's busiest time of year. But I'd like you to tell people what your need is like once the holiday season passes.
Well, we distribute the vast majority of our coats between the 15th of September and the 15th of January, and that makes sense because, you know, you really want, if you've got a coat to give, you want a child to have the coat, you know, as early in the season as possible. But we work year-round raising money because all of our coats are brand new, as we've said. Unfortunately, the factories that we get the coats from or the vendors that we buy the fabrics from for our USA-made coats, while they may give us a good deal and an in-kind discount on the materials that we purchase from them, they can't give us 300,000 coats for free.
Sure.
So we have to raise the funds for that. And we spend a lot, you know, doing lots and lots of different campaigns. We do a lot of grant writing with foundations and corporations that have foundations. We put together cause marketing programs. We work on developing programs with some of our larger distribution partners that we can then jointly go raise funds for those programs. So we're busy working year-round. We've actually already placed our first order for the 2015 coat season. We've ordered about 65-70% of the coats that we'll order for next year. And we need to know, you know, we need money raised by, you know, the 1st of February will impact how many coats we're able to give out next year.
Let's talk a little bit about that then. How can people support Operation Warm through donations or volunteering?
Well, the best way to support us is with monetary support because the more money we receive, the more coats we're able to bring into our system. As I said, we're getting them either from factories directly, the same factories that the large department stores would get their coats from, or in the case of the USA-made coats, we're manufacturing them ourselves because it was less expensive to do it that way. So the monetary donations are the best way, and there's lots of ways to do that. You can go online to operationwarm.org, and there's a donate button there, and you can make a donation that way. You can send us a check. You can see if your company has an employee giving campaign, where maybe the company has a foundation that matches employee gifts. If that's the case, that's even a better way to do it. And then a lot of people will get involved in taking leadership at their workplaces to try to develop a fundraising campaign within their workplace or within their social group. We have even groups of people who summer together in RV camps and have Christmas in July, and their Christmas presents to everybody is to provide coats to kids, and that's a part of what they do. So there's lots and lots of different ways that people can raise funds.
I think that's great. And, you know, I just wanted to clarify for our listeners that one thing you're not looking for is new or used coats, that you're having these coats manufactured so they're special for these kids and so that we're for our donations.
Correct. And it's also, it really would be impossible with our small staff and the large scale that we operate on. We'll distribute coats this year in virtually every state in the United States besides Hawaii. Some years we do some in northern Florida, some not. It depends upon where funding comes from. But virtually every state in the country will get our coats. And so you can imagine the logistics involved in getting orders from distribution partners, from beneficiary organizations all over the country, hundreds and hundreds of those orders, and they all have to be shipped out. So we have a central warehouse. The coats are packed, six coats to a box that are same size and gender. There's really no way we can take coats in and integrate them into that system
Sure.
without significantly increasing the cost of the whole operation.
Right.
The other thing you ask about volunteering, really the if somebody wants to get involved in volunteering time, the best way to do that is through what we call our donor-managed program. So you can volunteer your time to do local fundraising activity. We have all kinds of ideas on our websites on how people can raise funds locally. We are happy to set up a fundraising webpage for people so that for your project, you can direct people to a specific web link where people can make a donation to your coat program, and 100% of those funds will be allocated to providing coats to your program, and then you identify a local school or youth service agency in your community serving economically disadvantaged children, and you coordinate all of the local activity, in just like the firefighters do, to get the coats to the kids and put the coats, you know, working with the school to determine whether there's going to be a big distribution event, or in many cases the school says, you know, we'd rather do this quietly because we don't have, you know, we're not a Title I school. We've got 20% of our children that are economically in need. We don't want to single them out publicly. So we've got ways that we can get them a coat quietly, maybe directly to their parents during a parent-teacher conference.
That's great. That's so great. So how are those donations used? You know, what does it cost to purchase a coat for a child in need?
It depends upon the program, but round figures, $20 will provide a brand new coat to a child. These are coats that the frontline retail price would be about $49. You might find it on sale for $29 on a Black Friday hot deal, or even $24, but you won't get it delivered to a child for $20 a coat. If you look at our published financial statements that, you know, every charity's financial statements are public record, as are ours, you'll see that 4% of the revenue that we bring in is used for administrative overhead and fundraising costs. So we're really lean and mean. 96 cents of every revenue dollar we get is used directly to provide a coat to a child.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, obviously, $20 hardly buys anything today, and it's so excellent
right.
that you can buy such an incredible coat, brand new, custom for that kid, and the color usually that they get to choose,
and
it's delivered to them.
You've spent $20, and you've saved a mother. You know, if the mother were to buy the child a coat, you've saved the mother $35 or $40. So that's a heck of a return on your investment.
So Operation Warm works with other organizations. I know we spoke with Lieutenant Leonetti that leverage your coats to deliver social work, after-school programs, educational assistance programs, life skills training, healthcare offerings, other services. Just tell us a little bit about how that works.
Well, there's lots of organizations that are providing services to economically disadvantaged children, and so we work with all of those types of organizations as distribution partners, and then we have funding partners that are interested in providing coats to children in need, either at a very specific organization or within their community. And then we have some who just support us on a national level and say, you all figure out where the need is best, and we appreciate that type of support certainly as well. So we're working on the funding side with foundations and corporations and service groups like Rotary Clubs or churches or church groups or firefighters. We have a handful of police departments that also work with us. And then we work with distribution partners like schools and youth services agencies and homeless shelters and food pantries, and the list just goes on and on.
That's so great. So there's one question I like to ask every guest every week as we wrap up the show. And that is, you know, what's your vision for how Operation Worm is helping to make the world a better place?
Well, I think I've said it. We said it at the opening. I like to say that what we do is bring happiness and warmth to children so that they can go to school and play outside on cold winter days. It's a pretty simple, focused message, our mission. And we do it quite well. And we've elected to stay focused on that because while we'll, you know, make 300,000 kids happy this year, there's over 16 million children living in poverty in the United States. So we've got a long way to go.
An amazing story. We're so glad that you shared it with us today. You know, so often most of us here in this country take for granted things like a warm winter coat. It seems so simple. And yet,
yep.
We've learned today from our conversation with you that it's not as common for those in need, and that's a big number of people out there that need just something as basic as that. So, and then we've also learned that additionally, the gift of a brand new coat personally made for each child, when it's presented to that child, really boosts the self-esteem and the self-worth of that little boy or little girl. And it's also apparently a great experience for the giver. In some cases, people like the firemen who have participated are able to share in the personal connections that it is all about giving back to the community that they serve. So I urge our listeners to please get behind these people in any way that you can in your donations and from your heart with your support, and learn how you can do so by going directly to operationwarm.org. Rich, once again, thank you for joining us today on Better Worldians Radio.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
We've enjoyed it thoroughly. We wish you all the best. Obviously, you're a partner with us right now, so we're hoping for the best as we participate in working towards some of your same goals in the coming months. Please join us next week on Better Worldians Radio when we'll be speaking with Jim Liske, CEO of Prison Fellowship. Jim will talk more about an important Christmas program they have called Angel Tree. Really interesting program. I encourage you to come to listen to it. But before we go, once again, I'd like to remind you our Indiegogo campaign is now funding at abetterworld.com/kidsgame. A Better World for Kids lets kids have fun and make a difference in the world through good deeds, positive thinking, both in the online virtual world game and in the real world. Additionally, as I mentioned before, A Better World for Kids has promised to pledge 10% of its post-campaign net profits to charities that help children. Go to abetterworld.com/kidsgame to learn more and to help fund A Better World for Kids. And until next time, everyone, please be a better worldian.
Thank you again for helping make the world just a little bit better this week. Please join your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel next Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope we've inspired you to do one small thing to help make a big difference. Join us at BetterWorldians.com to tell us what you've done to change the world.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.